Welcome to Trust Tree Talks, a podcast that connects a tribe of kick-ass women doing what it takes to make their lives shine. We're your hosts, Elizabeth Holmes
and Lisa Schauer.
Thanks for tuning in. We're glad you're here. We hope you've tuned in to our previous episodes of season two of Trust Tree Talks as we explore our personal recovery plans for resetting our new normal. We're uncomfortable, adapting, changing, and transforming during an unprecedented pandemic, an economic collapse, a racial reckoning, and a real fear of what's coming next. So far in this season, we've had some real star power. We love uncovering the extraordinary stories found in every woman that challenges us to think, nourishes our soul, and energizes our bodies. Today, we're going to talk a little about how we're innovating and finding new pathways forward as we reflect, reimagine, and reset our lives.
How are you guys this morning?
I'm good. I'm good. The reason I have spotty Wi-Fi is I'm at the beach.
Yay! How is it?
It's nice. It's beautiful. We just got here yesterday. So I was telling Chris, like Sunday afternoon, Layla and I hit the COVID wall. Mm-hmm. Hers manifested in more anger, just like, you know, I'm just sick of being here and I'm sick of this house and I'm sick of these four walls and I'm sick of you guys, like being everywhere I go. All fair. So fair. And I was just more like sad, like this sucks, like her summer sucks. And it does suck that she's just in her room, you know, so much. And I relate, not wanting to be with your parents all the time, you know, not discounting how cool I am or anything, but I get it. So like I went to bed that night and I'm trying to find a hotel somewhere where we can just go. And I couldn't find anything, but then I mentioned it to my husband Monday at like noon and he's like a hotel ninja. And he's like, you guys wanted to go tonight? And I was like, yeah, you know, just for a couple nights, just to get away. And he's like, well, let me see what I can do.
Let me work my magic.
Like 15 minutes later, he's like, okay, I found your room. You go tonight, you check in, you'll check out tomorrow. And then you'll check back into the same hotel for a different room. Does that work for you? And we're like, yeah. So like we had that conversation at noon and Layla and I pulled out of the driveway at like 2:30 and we were just like, we're gone.
Did you just leave the boys at home? So it was just the two of you?
Yeah, it's just the two of us. Yeah. Eric's at home. He had counsel obviously.
Right.
And worked. And Reese has been in Pullman. He went over to Pullman on Saturday to move his stuff in. So he was on his way back from Pullman. Yeah. We don't even need to go into like boy logistics, but let's just say he's got his stuff moved in over there and then he's moving in there next week, right? Because classes start the 24th.
They start online. So yeah. He needs to be there in Pullman though.
Well, yeah. I don't think he's the only one that's sick of hanging out with his parents.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I think they're going to have more people on campus than they even can anticipate because everyone's feeling the same way. I cannot look at these four walls any longer and I'm tired of my parents.
Yeah. And I looked at hotel prices in Pullman because as part of those boy logistics, some stuff got kind of hectic that I might have to drive over. And they were like the same rates you pay during a football weekend. So I was like, oh, we wouldn't be the only parents dropping a kid off at school. So
it's move-in weekend.
Yeah.
It's despite COVID.
Yes. Yeah. So it is just us girls. And when we got in yesterday afternoon, a little before five, it was stunning. But it's the Oregon coast. So it's, you know, upper 60s. People are in bathing suits in the water. And we're just like, okay, whatever. Like,
still need a coat on.
Are you right?
It's 60 degrees. Are there a lot of people at the beach?
Yeah, it's pretty busy. Mask compliance, I would guess, here in Cannon Beach is about 90%.
Oh, that's excellent. That seems like that's an improvement from when you did your forced family outing to Cannon Beach.
Yeah, so I would say then it was like 75.
Okay.
Yeah, it's up. Protocols feel good. We did take out for dinner. So when I read your questions, the first time I was actually in a different mental place where I was like thinking what I would bring to this episode was a lot of, you know, peaceful acceptance and pretty centered moving forward. And I'm like, oh shit, no, that's not where I'm at all. How fun.
So how does it feel to actually be outside of your house and spending the night someplace else?
It felt way better than I thought. So I was super anxious on the way down and I quizzed my husband like a million times. Like, you think this is safe? Is this safe? Am I being safe? Is this safe? And he's like, yeah, you know, like wash your hands, wear a mask, like follow the rules and you should be fine. Once we got here and I saw the protocols that everybody, they're adhering really well here. You know, obviously the last thing they want is an outbreak here. And they're enforcing, you know, distancing and masks. And I'm a lot more comfortable than I thought. And honestly, like being on the beach last night, I went down and watched the sunset by myself. Like that was...
A religious moment.
Oh my God. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Like my soul just felt like rehydrated or something. Cause I think there's few things as spectacular as the Oregon coast, but yeah, this is what I needed. I needed some perspective. I needed to be out in the world and see that other people are moving about and doing their business. No, they're finding a way to make it work.
So I think we must have, Layla and I must be on the same wavelength because we hit the wall at exactly the same time. So we spent the weekend at Skamania Lodge and it was literally the first time. I mean, just like Team Holmes, like we have been sheltering in place. And I just, so, well, actually, I think it was Sydney who came downstairs and just did essentially an intervention that it's time, we need to be safe, but we got to get out of here. And so we went Friday night, same kind of deal, called, hey, do you have a room? You know, we're in a tiny little room. She has a pullout, you know, queen sofa, but we had a view of the river and we just ordered room service the whole weekend. Like we didn't leave. We took some walks around with our masks on, but we just stayed in the room and we had a room that faced kind of the courtyard area so we could people watch. And there was an Indiana Jones movie marathon on all day Saturday. So that was on in our room and it was so nice to get away. I feel like I've now created a new COVID-19 bucket list and the next stop is Cannon Beach. But we were a little bit hesitant because we had kind of heard you mention that there wasn't as much mask wearing in Cannon Beach when you were there a couple months ago. So we thought, maybe we'll try Skamania. It's only an hour away. If this experiment fails, we can always come home. But I did the like, I'm going to bring pillowcases and some bedding. And, you know, we really didn't need to do any of that. I was so impressed with how diligent the lodge was and everyone around. And it was just, it was lovely to get away from my Zoom closet and the four walls we've been looking at. And I do definitely feel much more centered and rejuvenated. However, I was thinking this conversation would have been much different had I not felt like I had that little bit of a break because you start to really feel kind of stir crazy. Like you can, it's the Groundhog's Day over and over and over again. Like it doesn't matter if it's Saturday or if it's Wednesday, it just feels like the same meals and the same rhythm. And it was nice to break that rhythm up a little bit.
I love that you said that about the same meals because that was one of Layla's things when we got here last night was she looked at a menu and was like, oh, I want to go eat there because I have not eaten anything like that for months. It was crab macaroni and cheese because, yeah, I'm not fixing that at home.
No, but that sounds outstanding. And that's a perfect Oregon coast meal.
Yeah. So you guys were there for 2 nights.
We went for 2 nights and came back Sunday morning. So it really was just pretty much all day Saturday. And it was really wonderful. I will say I was very surprised. They held a wedding with a huge group of people that came out and no masks by anyone around. And it was really stunning that there is definitely a population that is continuing to want to ignore some of what I believe to be the realities of a international pandemic. But again, we were in our room, kind of all snuggled up, being able to watch what was happening outside, stunned by the lack of masks, but watching a wedding, seeing that despite COVID, people are not stopping their lives and their celebrations. I just think there's an element of safety that might have been missing in that Skamania Lodge wedding on Saturday.
Yeah, we walked by two weddings yesterday evening. One was masked and one was not. But the one that was not was maybe six people. So I was like, that might be a bubble. I'm not going to, of course I'm judging everybody, but I chose to give them a pass.
It is interesting to see folks now starting to settle into life has to continue to move forward, and weddings are such a wonderful moment to bring people together. It has to be done differently, but there are some that are doing it exactly the same way. And it's fascinating to kind of watch and see. And we had a little bit of a conversation about, can you imagine starting your life together and having someone who attended your celebration contract COVID and die? What would that be like? I mean, how would you reconcile that in the future, that very important moment actually now has this kind of real negative overtone? And again, it's about kind of level of risk and safety and what comfort level you have with that. But you start to play out some of those, what could happen. And I just then say, okay, let's go back to our four walls. I can control this. I can't control all the other people around me that are making different decisions.
Yeah, that is absolutely, I relate to that. Where like, I feel like I peek my head out and I'm like, yeah, okay, we need to start moving in a new way and let's try out some of these behaviors. And then, there's a headline or I have a thought like that. And I'm like, no. I think I'll go back to my house. Like, I can control what happens there.
So I had a situation happen recently. I'm curious what you think about this because I was a little bit stunned, but I have volunteered before you lecture me. I volunteered to be on a board that really is trying to reconnect me back with some of my engineering roots. And I was the only board member that chose not to attend an all-day retreat in person.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts about that, about engineering personalities.
Right. So this was marketers for the engineering. Yes. And I think everyone is just so tired of being at home and they want to get out. I'm really proud that this organization put in place a new director position that is a justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion position.
Yes.
But I found myself struggling with what that means and essentially being excluded because I chose not to attend in person. There was not the ability for a Zoom meeting to really be set up. So there was a phone that was passed around. There was a laptop that was passed around. Most of the day I was looking up at the ceiling and I have the worst position on the board. It's secretary and I was supposed to take notes. So it made me all day long think about what does inclusion really mean? What does equity mean in terms of how we gather and how do we do that given COVID? And so I'm uncomfortable and I feel bad about not attending an all-day retreat and being the only one unwilling to do that. Yet my job as a board member is to take notes and it's impossible for me to do that given masks were worn, people are talking and they're not paying attention to the fact that the person taking the notes is on the phone. It was a really interesting afternoon. Yeah. Well, actually, it was all day. So I think my level of kind of resentment about these two big concepts, inclusion and COVID, my irritation was really high by the end of the day. And the notes are really not adequate because I wasn't able to participate. And how even something as simple as a Zoom meeting allows, in my opinion, more inclusion because everyone's face is on a screen and you aren't having this dynamic of some people in person and they forget that the screen is up and somebody else is trying to participate and they're kind of the afterthought. And so how do we readjust to you know, really honoring and respecting each other's choices, but not making that something that you penalize someone for choosing not to want to gather. It's really something that has bothered me, and I don't know the answer, but it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like what we've been talking about in terms of the importance of inclusion when we ignore someone's comfort zone.
That is so interesting. Like, I'm just processing that. Like, what do you even do with that? Like, my mind just travels to all the situations where we are going to be having going forward people with different comfort levels, and those people who are anxious to just go back to quote unquote normal, sort of dragging, you know, people who want to be more cautious along, and how that results in such a disparity. That's so interesting.
It is going to become something that we're going to have to figure out. And it just feels like that old concept of the in-group and the out-group, mm-hmm. you know, and there might be in a totally different situation, this in-group that everybody feels most comfortable being on Zoom. And the out-group is those that want to really push gathering in person. But that dynamic exists. And it was really uncomfortable for me that like the entire day, I just kept feeling like I should have just said yes. And then I quickly went to, this is crazy. Why am I feeling bad about the fact that I am recognizing we are in a pandemic, and gathering is really, with masks on or not, really a luxury that I think is certainly not essential. We can do this work without it being in person.
It just really takes you back to teen peer pressure is what it sounds like. Right?
Like, that's exactly what I was feeling. Like,
Lisa, like, come on, be cool,
yeah,
Lisa.
Yes. Well, and then you add, which this is also something that I think is an interesting conversation for you and I. It was at a winery. It was at a winery. I know. Where at lunchtime there was a glass of wine. Now, I don't mind having a glass of wine, and I don't mind that social aspect, but that dynamic felt very cliquish, very much like I'm in high school, I'm not cool enough, my parents aren't letting me drink, so I can't go to the winery and I have to watch you guys all drink together. I mean, that's exactly how it felt. So it's so funny that you bring up that whole teen peer pressure, because all day I'm processing, what is it that's making me so irritated? And it is all of that social pressure that goes along with being a teen, being in the out group, and then you add on top of that the dynamic of drinking,
and like boom, it's like 1993, right? Or five, right,
for you. Oh my gosh, crazy.
That's nuts. That is just part of that whole new normal though, of ironing that out. And I mean, I'll speak for myself. I didn't iron that out very well in my teen years. So I hope I've matured a little and handle it a little bit better at my age now.
It's really a fascinating kind of social experiment. If you start kind of really observing and paying attention to how people are going to interact and what sort of judgments and shaming and all of that that goes mm-hmm. either way, you know, you're being too cautious or you're being too reckless. You know, I think we just have to get to a place where we're honoring everyone has a different level of comfort and just respecting that. And wouldn't, of all times in, you know, the last, I don't know, 50 years, wouldn't this be the right time to be listening and respecting what others are saying, taking it for face value, right? You know, like if you're uncomfortable, okay,
yeah,
then you should stay home.
Yeah, you should stay home. And I should be able to hear you say that without taking it as a judgment about what I'm doing and getting defensive about it. Because I feel like because I'm, you know, on the more conservative end of things and, you know, have been home since March, that I get, you know, people are defensive. If you say I've been home, they're like, well, I couldn't stay home because I had to do, you know, I had to do this and I had to go to this thing. And I'm not judging you. I'm just saying where I'm at. And I think that dynamic, it's so common that everyone takes your comment as a judgment against themselves, when in fact there's nothing to get defensive about. We're all just sharing our comfort levels, but I don't think we had gotten far enough into our inclusivity training as a society when this thing hit to be that accepting of other people's opinions.
With everything happening with the race revolution and reckoning and the buzzwords of diversity, equity, inclusion, I just really want to say, I want everyone to just sit down and write a definition of what inclusion means. Then I want you to think about how you treat people during a pandemic, because you're also having to disclose if you do have health conditions, which mm-hmm. is not typically something that, you know, comes up in natural conversation, but there does feel like you have to justify, you know, my husband has a high risk health condition. You know, I shouldn't have to do that. And you shouldn't put any sort of pressure on me to have to disclose that. If I tell you that I am uncomfortable, that should be enough. You should work hard to try and find a way to be inclusive if that is truly a value. So it's just fascinating to me that there has been all of these statements on Black Lives Matter, diversity, equity, inclusion is the direction that we're all headed. Yet, how are we really showing up to be inclusive given this pandemic? I mean, it just, it's a head scratcher, because to me, it seems so logical, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, that's, I mean, that's very personal. That hits very close to home for me, because I have an autoimmune disease, but I don't look sick. No one would guess, I don't think. People look at me and think that. And I don't like to have to explain myself why I'm a little more careful. And also that need to justify why you're being careful. We shouldn't have to justify our choices like that. But we're so far from inclusion.
And honestly, I don't really know how to address it, because it feels like a big, huge elephant in the room and such a negative way to get started that I'm really struggling with how to say something so that it comes across constructive and an opportunity to maybe increase some self-awareness. But I think it's just going to come off in such a negative way because no one saw it was an issue at all.
Right. I mean, when you like take that lens of inclusivity and you take it up, you know, 30,000 feet, 50,000 feet, and you see, you know, how big it is, it's not inclusive to have an event at a winery.
It's not.
It's just not.
I will say I am, I think, the senior citizen of the group. And so there, I am feeling as though there's definitely a generational layer here, that those that are a little younger mm-hmm. have a little bit more tolerance for some of the risk here and kind of feel like they, you know, it's not going to happen to them. Which I get. I remember kind of feeling like that, but
don't feel like that anymore, do you?
I don't feel like that anymore now that I'm into, you know, old age. You know, I was looking at the stay home, stay healthy order and counting the days, and we're 148 days into Governor Inslee's stay home, stay healthy order. And I still don't quite feel like this is normal, or that I have settled into creating or resetting how to make this feel more normal. Are you feeling like there's more normal at your house?
Gosh, I would say it depends on the day. I mean, since I kicked this off by being like, yeah, we hit the wall and we fled town.
Which is the reality of the situation.
I feel like it'd be a little inauthentic to be like, oh yeah, there's a new normal. But I mean, it's emerging. Routines have settled in. Like when we order the groceries, like how we, you know, get the grocery list together. Like that's, you know, some of those things have started to achieve some flow, I guess. You know, my husband's work declared working at home through the end of the year. So he's working from home through the end of the year, because I know he knows if he starts going into work, everyone will start going into work because they'll think that that's the expectation. So it's putting in place a better location for him. Like, we got him a desk in the office that he had been working in, and then with my daughter, finding her a space outside of her room to do her schoolwork on so that she will feel like at school, not at school. Putting some of those things in place have felt more normal, like this is a new normal. And then with my son choosing to do his remote school from Pullman, I think that also helped it feel more normal. Although I would put a plug in for people whose kids are going away to college who are over 18, get a power of attorney to make health decisions, because those little buggers are adults. And HIPAA won't let you make a health decision for those adults unless you have it in writing, just to be safe. And I'll put a plug in for our local attorney. If you're in Washington, Juliet Laco helped me out with that with a minimum of fuss and had great suggestions to broaden that out, not just for health, but to be able to pay his bills and just attend for him if he should become incapacitated, which is a horrible thing for a parent to have to think about. But I'm grateful that I got that taken care of ahead of time.
So wise. And how did you even think to reach out to Juliet, who I'm a big fan of Juliet, and she's been an amazing part of our trust tree. But what made you start to think about, I mean, obviously there's a health pandemic, but even putting those things together, I don't think I would have done that. And yet I do recognize our college students are 18 and they're adults. They still feel like they're kids, and we should have the ability to help inform the health decisions or be a part of that. But you're right. Health professionals couldn't even talk to you if I know my HIPAA law very well without this.
Yeah. I mean, that's my understanding. I'm not, you know, in healthcare. I don't know if they've been the rules or whatever. I mean, I didn't think about it when he was 18 and he went off to school, but I did think about it because he was 19. For some reason, 19 made me realize he was an adult. And we've had a few instances over the stay-at-home order when he's been home where he has said things like, I'm an adult, like, I'm going to spend my money. Like, we had a discussion of whether he should invest in the stock market. And he was like, I'm an adult, I can do that. And I was like, oh, yeah, you are an adult. I guess I was just thinking, oh, yeah, like...
You are an adult.
You are an adult. Like, ah. And then I reached out to Juliet just for a recommendation because she does family law. So I didn't know she also did some of this stuff as part of her practice, like wills and power of attorney and things like that. So a broader definition. I had thought of her as a divorce attorney, as she is a divorce expert. And just for those of you who the pandemic has highlighted that you need a divorce, I would definitely...
Juliet's your gal. Juliet.
Because I think that's a real thing. There's been several high-profile divorces of celebrities, of minor celebrities that I follow this pandemic, where I've just been like, yeah.
Those walls are really closing in.
Yeah, I couldn't quite bear the weight of a pandemic. You know, good to know. Cut your losses and move on.
Right.
I think getting a power of attorney for health decision for your adult children is probably the new normal. It's part of my new normal working within this pandemic, because I believe unless people are willing to lock it down and the government is willing to, at a federal level, coordinate and provide support for people to be able to go into lockdown, we're not going to get on top of this. So we'll be living with this, you know, into the foreseeable future.
What are you seeing and hearing from other friends that you interact with? How are they responding to COVID? I mean, we've been in this long enough now that, I mean, I was on a call last week and they're talking about potentially school continuing, preparing for fall of 2021. Yeah. As continued online learning. And there was this part of me that just, like, my heart broke. I thought, oh my gosh, That's just not the educational experience that I had, that I would love for my kiddo to have, that makes up that whole social emotional learning that is, in my opinion, equally as important as the academic learning. And to think that educators are not only planning for this fall, but next fall, just gives me a little bit of pause, and also makes me think, okay, it's time to buy a new desk, right? It's time to start to put the tools in place to make this work a little bit more efficiently or effectively. How are you finding people really kind of start to settle in?
Most of my friends are really, that I talk to regularly, are on the conservative end of this, kind of that hunkering down sort of tribe. And I'm just thinking back on the last several conversations I've had with some friends. Everybody's so weary. They're sad. They're grieving. But I'm not really seeing people beyond, like, my trainer, the gym that my trainer works out of, Marcel's Personal Fitness. Like, they are into it. Like, they are innovating and they are trying new things. And it, like, that's super inspirational for me, is that they have just been, with each twist and turn, they have met the challenge and just gotten comfortable in a new space. But, like, that's kind of an outlier, I think, in my experience. What about your friends? What are you hearing?
We've sheltered in place, like really sheltered in place. So I've just seen a lot of, okay, well, if this is the way it's going to be, then, you know, our bubble's going to expand. It's going to be a lot bigger. And that has just given me pause. I personally, you know, during the same time period as this pandemic, have experienced major health issues with my husband and some realities to the 20 plus year difference in our ages, and have done maybe a little bit more of that thinking that you're kind of embracing, in terms of, okay, this is life and death, and what do I need to do? And what do I need to have prepared? And I, for the longest time, just kept looking at my husband as someone who was the same age that I am. And, you know, he's going to be around forever. And we don't need to have some of these tough conversations. And I'm just going to kind of ignore it. And I'm facing that with a different lens, and trying to think about, what would we do as a family if we didn't have a lot of time together, whether that be all of us or one of us. And it's really changed kind of my sense of urgency. And so I don't know that it's helped me to be more hopeful, but it's helped me to be more realistic. And I feel good that we're making good decisions without it being in the middle of a crisis. And my husband's doing tremendously better. And some of those things that, you know, I just kicked the can on, those discussions we're able to have. And I'm grateful, because if he hadn't gotten better, I would be making those decisions alone. And I am kind of regretting that we weren't able to have those conversations without the heightened threat of a pandemic. And, you know, it's just another kind of shout out and plea that you got to have those conversations, and you got to have a plan in place. And, you know, I hope this pandemic has helped people to really start to think, what is our plan, and what are we going to do, and how do we put a plan in place that makes sense? And anywhere from financials to what if strategies. And Juliet has been a part of that conversation with me. It is really great to have a trusted advisor that you can call that does provide a little bit of that hope and that steadfast, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we can do it, and let's put this plan in place. And I'm grateful to have had some of those conversations. I just really, really think that we should all be taking a moment to reflect and make sure that, you know, I hate to say this, but that our affairs are in order, that we have a plan. And maybe that's just my big planner self speaking. And I know, you know, I'm speaking to the right planner, but it is something so uncomfortable that I don't know how you can avoid that reality, given the numbers of tragedies around COVID right now. And I hope that it drives action. I hope it drives real meaningful conversations. I know it has in our house.
Yeah, that's so interesting that you say, like, if you don't think it didn't leave you feeling hopeful, but it made you feel realistic? Did that bring you more peace?
Tremendously more peace. And I feel like I can go to Skamania Lodge. You know, I mean, it's like you go on vacation and you start to think about, if you leave your child at home, what happens if something happens to us while we're on vacation? Well, you know, what is the statistic? Something like, you know, a huge percentage, you know, accidents happen close to home, not necessarily while you're on a lavish vacation without your kiddo. And so I just really think this is a pandemic, and having those conversations and those plans in place hopefully will bring peace to others too. It isn't something that I ever want to talk about. I don't, it's really hard, but the opposite, not having the conversation and then being in a situation where you have to make decisions for someone that you love or determine what it is you're going to do, is so much better and easier when everyone's healthy, not when you're in the middle of a crisis.
Yeah, I think just preach on that right there with you. I mean, because I think about the people, you know, the unmasked people and the people that are still gathering in groups, and I'm fairly certain they don't have their affairs in order. So that's going to make an awful situation that much worse. And I can say from personal experience, when my mom died, we were not in a pandemic. It went much faster than we anticipated, and we had not had some of those conversations with her. And we were left to try to figure out what she would have wanted us to do regarding her care. And also, you know, something like her memorial, like what did she want us to do to remember her? We'd never discussed where she wanted to be buried. So it was additional trauma that was inflicted on us because we didn't have the answers. So I could not endorse your statement more. Those are huge decisions. Those are huge conversations that you need to have when everybody's healthy.
Totally uncomfortable conversations. I'm not saying that it's
no,
been a
cakewalk
over here.
Yeah, I've always been fascinated that we didn't have them with my mother, because my mom was a nurse for years and years and an administrator, and she taught classes on death and dying for years. We had a very open family about things like that, but we just never got specific. So people get specific.
Well, and you're not an only child, so the decision wasn't just left to you, which creates a whole other dynamic when the person that connects each of you is no longer there, and you're having to channel what she wants without that conversation.
Yes, yes, because when each child has had a different experience with that parent and sees that parent differently, yeah, it was horrible.
So that's our call to action. If you haven't
for sure
had some of those conversations, I don't know what's stopping you. And, you know, I also think it's a great opportunity. You know, we've pivoted from the kind of gloom and doom conversation to it's time to do what we've wanted to do. And so you and I haven't had a chance to chat about this, but you inspire me in so many ways. One of which is you and your husband embarked upon a home building project. And Al and I have talked about doing this forever and just not found either the right lot or the right builder or the right moment. And we are in the final stages of signing an agreement to build a new house. And a big part of this is planning for the future and anticipating what Al might need in terms of care, trying to anticipate what Sydney needs, her ability to have a place where she can come home to after she goes to college, and my ability to be able to fund it. And so those conversations have led to something really exciting that we're looking forward to that creates some hope. But I would never have been in the place where I am today, where I am able to sign off on, yes, we're going to move forward with building this house, had my husband not recovered in such a phenomenal way, and he and I are able to have this conversation. Because it really, for me, ooh, I'm going to get emotional, helps me to know that this is, you know, something that he wants for us. And if he isn't here 20 years from now, that this is a decision that we made together with him fully in that conversation. And that feels right. I also feel good about if something were to happen to me on the way to QFC, that I know he and our daughter have this place that we've dreamed about building for, you know, almost 2 decades. So I think the conversations can lead to, now we have a good plan in place. What are we going to do? What was stopping us before that now we should say yes to? Because we have no idea how much longer we're going to live. But in the time that we have together, this is how we want to live.
First of all, that's beautiful. Like, that is amazing. And I'm so glad for you guys. And, you know, the development nerd in me is like, that's so exciting. And so it is exciting to create something that works for your family, right? A space that works for your family, as opposed to just fitting your family into someone else's space.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we started to have the conversations about retirement. My husband got in public service young, like, you know, he was a baby when he started, and he has stayed in public service. So retirement is a reality for him as a possibility in, I think it's 4 years he could, and he doesn't want to, he doesn't plan to, but even just to have that conversation, this pandemic helps make the next chapter pivot of our lives so much clearer. I guess it gave us some clarity on that. You know, when you get married, it's pretty obvious how things change. When you have kids, it's pretty obvious when you enter that chapter. And what I'm finding is, as your kids grow up and leave home, it's a little mushier when that next chapter starts, especially in this day and age where the economy is such that they may come back. You know, they might go to college and come back, or they might, you know, take a bit longer to finish college, and it just seems less like your kids are 18 and you're done with them, which is kind of seemed how it was in the past, you know, 18 or, you know, 21, 22. So yeah, I mean, we've started to have those conversations, and it just opens up a whole new world. Like, I'm excited to hear, like, what made you think about building as an option, which obviously has always been an option. You just weren't considering it.
Well, so Al was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and there are some real significant physical constraints that houses that we're finding aren't able to accommodate as that disease continues to progress. And so I just got really frustrated with, you said it so well, fitting into someone else's space and trying to make that accommodate what our family needs. I'm also shocked at the fact that it doesn't appear as though there's any sort of pandemic from an economic perspective in our little town. Prices of homes are super expensive. And as I've mentioned before, they're going pending like 24 hours, 48 hours, and they're well above our price range. And so one way that we can kind of control that is a lot price and, you know, what it is that we choose to put into the actual home and how big the home is. And, you know, we've been really fortunate to have some lovely homes and to have a larger square footage than we need. And this experience has also shown us that we do like to hang out with each other, but we also each need our own room outside of a closet that we can all go to and have a little space. And so it helped to inform what we needed versus what we wanted. And I mean, we have, since we got married, been dreaming about trying to build a house that has kind of that timber frame accents. And we're going to have that in this, and there's going to be some open beams and this big fireplace and a gathering room that is not also a dining room. We just don't use a dining room, and we want the big room so that family can gather together, assuming that we'll be in a place at some point where we can have those family gatherings. And so we're super excited about this. It's absolutely not what I thought was possible in this moment, and we're just grateful that we have the opportunity to make this happen. But it would not have occurred had we not had some of these really tough conversations about what does the future of our life look like realistically, no longer just ignoring the fact there's an age difference or that we have a kid that we need to make sure has some stability in her life, given some things we can't control. So we're excited. We're still in the Camas school district because we have a kid that doesn't want to move out of the school district, which also created quite a bit of a constraint. But I think this is going to work for our family. It's smaller than we've ever been in, but we're getting excited about that.
That's exciting. When I'm my best self, I do try to focus on the possibilities presented by this pandemic, silver linings sort of thing. And that's really one of them. And the ability to open your mind a little bit, maybe because there's fewer distractions to what is possible and what is possible realistically for your life. I think a lot of people just dream about big dreams, which are great, but taking that into like, what can I do in the next 18 months? What can I do in the next 2 years to move me closer to where I would want to be? I mean, we had a conversation about, should we look at getting a second home as like a future place to retire to? And we had a pretty thorough conversation about that and looked at the realistic possibility and decided, no, that really isn't what we wanted to do. But we've just talked about it in theory. We'd never looked at specifics.
There, I think, is some hope that can come from planning what that future looks like. And I know that you've even started to think about, my bucket list of travel is so different today than it was before. Like, this idea that going to Skamania Lodge for the weekend is so exciting, and having on our radar the ability to drive to Cannon Beach or to head over to Sun River is creates all this optimism that before I think we took for granted. Like, of course we're going to go to Sun River, or of course we go to Cannon Beach. Really, we're planning a trip to Europe or whatever it might be that's so much larger and more lavish. I'm curious if some of your hope for the future has come from being able to kind of reset. What are the things that we want to do? And what does that look like? If, you know, nothing was holding me back, a pandemic and travel restrictions, what do I want to see? And what do I want to experience? And how do we, back to the plan, how do we put a plan in place to make that achievable? I mean, that certainly has been in our conversations. I don't want a house payment that prevents me from being able to experience life in a different way when we're able to get out of these four walls. Have you started to think through what that future looks like in terms of maybe these are some things we want to do, and when we are given the opportunity, we're going to take advantage of it and do it?
Oh, for sure. Like, there's definitely like a travel list, a bucket list that is less aspirational than Europe, because Europe won't have us for God knows how long. So we came more of a, you know, contiguous state situation. But yeah, I mean, this time, this quiet time, I have gone so deep. I have read so much. I have done so much self-reflection. I have learned so much about stoicism and, you know, I've read so much positive psychology and what makes life meaningful and what's happiness? What does happiness mean? And how do you create happiness? And it's because I've had time to read and, you know, I'm curious. So I'm going to read everything I can get my hands on that people recommend. And the meaningfulness of life, which I think pre-pandemic even I had thought about, oh, like I, like my goal is to be happy. My goal is to live this happy life where, and looking back on it, it sounds kind of ridiculous to think, well, I'll just be happy all the time. Like, when these certain things are in place, I'll be happy when my kids are launched and are healthy and happy. And like, I've figured out like my next career and locked on that, and then I'll be happy. And just none of that external happiness condition means as much to me as my internal condition. And it's, I'm not looking for a happy life. I'm looking for a meaningful life that is complex and has rich, deep relationships and social connections, where I'm doing meaningful work that makes a difference in people's lives, and that there's an honor in the struggle and the challenge of working toward things and figuring things out and creating things that I don't think make you happy in the moment, because things are hard. Like, this is a struggle. Our current situation is a struggle. I'm not happy, but I'm going to feel when we are through this, I'm going to feel like I met the challenge of this situation and I made the best of it. And that will give me joy, which is something I seek far more than I did before this pandemic. I look for joy and I look to be delighted. And I think I've always thought those were kind of small emotions. And now I just feel like they're probably my most important emotions to stay centered and to make it through, you know, whatever the pandemic throws at me. I'm in no way under the illusion that we're through the woods. I could have something really horrible happen because of this pandemic, or, you know, not become of this pandemic. Tragic things happen all the time, but daily focusing on joy and delight. Found Layla and I here at the coast to watch that sunset and to watch the little kids playing in the sand. And that was delightful.
Delight and joy and redefining happiness. If we can come out of this with some understanding and insight personally about what those mean to us, then I think we've won. Thank you for listening. If you tuned in to our first season, you know we believe in shining the light on women's stories. Please help us to illuminate women's stories by changing the storytellers. While we tend to shy away from self-promotion and we think women do this more often than they should, we are embracing our awesomeness and getting comfortable telling others about the great things we are up to. And we need you to check us out on trusttreegroup.com. All our links are there and you can buy some really cool shit. Subscribe to the podcast and share the podcast with your friends. Introduce us to women with stories that need to be told. Sign up for our newsletter, follow us on social media, and look for our candles in our online shop or at the Van Wares kiosk in Divine Consign on Main Street in downtown Vancouver, Washington. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Elizabeth.
And together, we are Trust Tree. Oh, shoot. Sorry.
Okay. Dog's on the podcast. Can we keep her quiet?